Today, rate hikes to infinity and beyond. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Collectively, about 90 central banks have raised interest rates this year, and half of them have increased it by at least 0.75 of a percentage point in one shot, including the Swiss National Bank earlier on Thursday. And of course, on Wednesday, the Federal Reserve announced a third consecutive 0.75% percentage point increase, while Sweden's Riksbank moved up by a full point. The Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee, which sets monetary policy to meet the 2% inflation target in the UK, announced that at its meeting on the 21st of September, they voted to increase the bank rate by 0.5 percentage points to 2.25%. This, of course, was after the Fed lifted 0.75%. And I think it's worth making the point that the markets were expecting a 0.75% increase in rates from the Bank of England when they only did 0.5%, which suggests perhaps that the bank is a bit more concerned about what the government is going to do with its support for households and businesses relating to the gas and electricity question, and also a concern that the economy is already looking fragile. Five members voted to raise bank rate by 0.5 percentage points. Three members preferred to increase the bank rate by 0.75% to 2.5%, and one member preferred to increase the bank rate by just 0.25 percentage points to 2%. And the committee also voted unanimously to reduce the stock of purchased UK government bonds financed by the issuance of central bank reserves by £80 billion over the next 12 months to a total of £758 billion, in line with the strategy that was set out in the minutes of the August MPC meeting. In the August Monetary Policy Report, the MPC noted that the risks around its projections from both external and domestic factors were exceptionally large, given the very large increase in wholesale gas prices since May and the consequent impacts on real incomes for UK households and on CPI inflation. Since August, wholesale gas prices have been highly volatile, and there have been large moves in financial markets, including a sharp increase in government bond yields globally. Sterling has depreciated materially over the period. Uncertainty around the outlook for UK retail energy prices has nevertheless fallen following the government's announcement of support measures, including an energy price guarantee. The guarantee is likely to limit significantly further increases in CPI inflation and reduce its volatility while supporting aggregate private demand relative to the committee's August projections. An additional growth plan announcement is scheduled to take place shortly later, which is expected to provide further fiscal support and is likely to contain news that is material for the economic outlook. Once that announcement has been made, and as part of its November MPC round, the committee will make a full assessment of the impact on demand and inflation from these announcements, along with other news, and determine further implications for monetary policy. There has been some modest downside news to underlying UK GDP growth in the third quarter of 2022, and faster indicators and contacts of the bank's agents suggest that the level of consumer spending is likely to have peaked this quarter. There have been some indications that the demand for labour is weakening, although the labour market nevertheless tightened somewhat over the summer, with inactivity materially higher than anticipated. Consumer services prices and nominal wages have continued to rise more rapidly than expected, although core goods price inflation has been lower than expected. 12-month CPI inflation fell slightly from 10.1% in July to 9.9% in August, with the release triggering the exchange of open letters between the Governor and the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Given the energy price guarantee, the peak in measured CPI inflation is now likely to be lower than was projected in the August report at just under 11% in October. Nevertheless, energy bills will still go up, and combined with the indirect effects of higher energy costs, inflation is expected to remain above 10% over the next few months before starting to fall back. The MPC's remit is clear that the inflation target applies at all times, reflecting the primacy of price stability in the UK monetary policy framework. The framework recognises that there will be occasions when inflation will depart from the target as a result of shocks and disturbances, and the economy has been subject to a succession of very large shocks. Monetary policy will ensure that, as the adjustment to these shocks continues, CPI inflation will return to the 2% target sustainably in the medium term. Monetary policy is also acting to ensure that longer-term inflation expectations are anchored at the 2% target. There have been further signs since the August report of continuing strength in domestically generated inflation. In and of itself, the government's energy price guarantee will lower and bring forward the expected peak of CPI inflation. For the duration of the guarantee, this might be expected to reduce the risk that a long period of externally generated price inflation leads to more persistent domestic price and wage pressures, although that risk remains material, they said. The labour market is tight, and domestic cost and price pressures remain elevated, and while the guarantee reduces inflation in the near term, it also means that household spending is likely to be less weak than projected in the August report over the first 2 years of the forecast period. All else equal, and relative to that forecast, this would add to inflationary pressures in the medium term. In view of those considerations, the committee voted to increase the bank rate by 0.5 percentage points to 2.25% at this meeting. The MPC will take the actions necessary to return inflation to the 2% target sustainably in the medium term, in line with its remit. The policy is not on a preset path, and the committee will, as always, consider and decide the appropriate level of bank rate at each meeting. The scale, pace and timing of any further changes in bank rate will reflect the committee's assessment of the economic outlook and inflationary pressures. Should the outlook suggest more persistent inflationary pressures, including from stronger demand, the committee will respond forcibly as necessary. At its August meeting, the MPC has communicated that it previously minded to commence gilt sales shortly after its September meeting, subject to economic and market conditions being appropriate. At this meeting, the committee agreed that the conditions were appropriate and voted to begin the sale of UK government bonds held in the asset purchase facility shortly after this meeting. So three takeouts here. The first is that there is clearly contention insofar that with increased government support for households, that is potentially creating inflationary pressures later. So whilst in the short term it might relieve inflationary pressures, it actually might build more pressure later. Secondly, the Bank of England is determined to get inflation back down to its 2% target. This is consistent with other central banks and demonstrates that price stability is all. And in the process, if that creates a recession, then so be it. And in fact, the Bank of England suggests that the economy may actually have been in a recession from about April this year. And thirdly, the issue of the utility prices, particularly gas prices, is clearly substantive, but not the only issue that's driving inflation very high. And as a result of that, the expectation is that inflation will stay high, stubbornly high, for quite a long period of time, which suggests that interest rates will stay higher for longer. And of course, that higher for longer mantra is precisely the same as we heard from the Federal Reserve and a number of other central bankers in recent times. So all of this translates, I think, to more pressure coming through to the local Australian situation, where, of course, we got a significant interest rate rise a couple of weeks ago, and the expectation must be that we're going to see rates rise again. Now, some local economists are arguing that the Reserve Bank here can get away with 25 basis points in October. I think my own perspective would be, if they do that, then the Aussie dollar, which is also already quite weak against the US dollar, but also weaker relative to some other currencies, may actually go a lot weaker. The problem with that is that that imports inflation into Australia and may stoke inflation into the medium term. So it highlights the critical balance and trade-offs that central banks have to make. And whilst, of course, the interest rate rises are putting significant pressures on households and businesses in all these Western economies, the central banks are very much locked in to thinking about getting inflation under control as the most critical thing. And to that extent, of course, everybody is actually challenging Volcker. And of course, Volcker did put rates up very high in the US a couple of decades ago to get inflation under control. But he broke other stuff in so doing. And so, of course, the question is, as interest rates go up and financial pressure grows more strongly on households and businesses, the question becomes, what else will break? And that's before we discuss the implications of a potentially more entrenched and disturbing war in Ukraine. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.